Radio Maria now presents The Will of God with Father Robert Young, a program in which Father Robert takes a look at the writings of Luisa Picaretta. And now, here's Father Robert Young with The Will of God.
And good day, dear friends, and welcome to all of you once again as we continue our study of this great work of Luisa Picaretta called Her Diary, and also known as The Book of Heaven. I always like to start with a prayer. We place ourselves in the will of the Most Holy Trinity. The Holy Trinity lives in us, and Jesus says, live in us as we live in you. So we want to be immersed in God. God is everywhere, and everything we do and think and say is in God. So we just try to increase our consciousness of that through our prayer, through all of our acts throughout the day, immersing them and plunging them into the will of God, the great ocean of God's love and mercy for humanity. So we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, in this infinite and eternal outpouring of love, which is your Son, and with your Son, the Holy Spirit, you have shown us what love is and how we are to love by the outpouring of ourselves, by the giving, the abandonment, the surrender of our whole being to you. For out of love for you, out of love for the Trinity, out of love for your creation, so that your purpose in creating us could be fulfilled. Father, in your outpouring of love to your Son, and together in the person of the Holy Trinity, you have shown us the way. Jesus is the image of the living God. He is this outpouring in human form, in the human person. In his personhood, he shows us what this outpouring of love is like. And as you teach us to say over and over again, I love you, we want our I love you to be the love that generates the life of the Son. And together with you, that spirates, that from which this love of the Spirit proceeds. So that as it comes to us, and as this self-diffusion of love, perfect and complete, is poured out of you, we too might receive it and give ourselves to it in return of love for love. Father, please grant that everything we do today and every day, even the slightest, littlest movements of our body and our soul, may be done in your holy will, so that through these acts of ours, we can redo in whatever capacity you want to give them all of the acts of our brothers and sisters, from Adam to the last, past, present, and future, and that every breath and heartbeat, every prayer, every joy, every suffering, every pain, every thought and word may incessantly pray to you and ask that your kingdom come, your kingdom reign here on earth, your will reign here as it does in heaven. We ask this always through the intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Queen of the Divine Will, and always in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Mary, help us to know what it means to live always in this self-diffusing love of the Most Holy Trinity. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us and all you angels and saints. Pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Before we begin our program today, continuing with the next passage from volume 19 of Luisa's diary, I'd like to once again, on behalf of all of us at Radio Maria, the staff, the administration, the presenters, and you, our listeners, thank you for your generous support of this network in the past. It's a great, great gift to the world and to the church that Radio Maria is the largest radio network in the world, let alone the largest Catholic radio network in the world. So how blessed we are to have it here in the United States, not quite as big as it may be in other countries, but it's growing, thanks be to God. But for the last 6 years, in January, we celebrated 6 years of this program, The Divine Will, on Radio Maria. And what a great gift it has been to so many of you, our listeners, and many others throughout the world who hear it through the internet and smartphones. So we thank God for that gift. But dear friends, Radio Maria continues to need your help. This is always, having been the priest director for some years, I know very well that always at the beginning of the year, January, February, March, are the hardest times for us to get by. And the reason is many of our bills come due this time of year. And also because of the holidays, people don't have as much, perhaps, to share as they did before the end of the year. So we really rely on your extraordinary generosity this time of year. So we began a couple of years ago something called, in the wintertime, our heartwarming campaign, which is simply our appeal to you to keep warming the hearts, as we all need our bodies warm in the winter, but to help keep warming the spirits, the souls, the hearts of many, many thousands of people throughout the world who look to Radio Maria, who listen to Radio Maria for inspiration, for instruction, for help, for guidance, for healing in their lives. And without money, it's not going to go on. Last year, unfortunately, Radio Maria had to cancel one of its broadcasting signals. We were no longer able to support it. So we don't want to have to do that again. So once again, as the host of this program, as a former director of Radio Maria, and I know in the name of Father Duane Stenzel, who would also ask you, very heartfelt way to help as much as you can, be as generous as you can. You can call during the weekdays, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 Central Time, and call 888-408-0201. 888-408-0201. You hear it many times during the Mariathons. But now you can also go to radiomaria.us, our new website, a year old now, and make your donation there very safely and securely with a credit card. So either call, you can do it that way, or send a check. You can find the address on the website or call the phone number for the address there in Alexandria. Please help us. We want to keep this program and all the good programs on Radio Maria. But as I know many of you perhaps only are able to listen to this one because you may not have a signal in your area for the radio, please help us to keep the Divine Will in the life and writings of Luisa Picaretta on the air by your generous support of this program. It's all free. Nobody has to pay for anything. It's like everything else in the church. It's free. We only ask for your donation, for your generosity, and to make up perhaps for those who can't give anything. There are many, many in the world who can't. But for us who can, let's see if we can't help this great mission of Radio Maria, English through the United States, but also reaching many other parts of the world. As we know, English is more and more the universal language, so we can reach a lot of other people in other countries. We hear from all over the world. People are listening through the internet to this great network of Radio Maria and to the program called The Divine Will. So thanks for listening and thanks for your generosity. And if you have any questions, you can always call or you can communicate through the website radiomaria.us. Very simple. Well, with that, let's continue now with our next passage dated April 16th, 1926. This passage has a little title that says, How, in order to live in the Divine Will, it takes full abandonment in the arms of the Celestial Father. How the nothing must surrender its life to the all. How the Celestial Mama is the true image of living in the Divine Will. This is a very beautiful passage. I hope you'll listen attentively to it, and hopefully maybe my words and comments can help a bit. But remember, it's the writings themselves, as St. Hannibal de Francia would say, that are filled with this light and this consolation that we receive. So let these words truly penetrate our hearts. Louisa says, I was feeling so very little, incapable of doing anything. And I called my Queen Mama to my help, so that together we might love, adore, glorify my highest and only good, for all and in the name of all. In the meantime, I found myself within an immensity of light, and all abandoned in the arms of my celestial Father, even more, so identified with him as though forming one single thing with him, in such a way that I no longer felt my own life, but that of God. But who can say what I experienced and did? Before I go on with the response of Jesus to this, as so often Louisa's musing within her own heart and her mind, she's thinking of these great mysteries of the divine will. She's making acts in the divine will here. It's an act of abandonment, surrender into the arms of the Eternal Father. It's a very beautiful, you know, way to pray for any of us, and I hope that all of us are learning to pray this way, this prayer of abandonment, of surrender, you know, just totally giving our lives over to God. That's ultimately what this is all about. It's what the whole Christian life, of course, is all about. But I want to say something here that's very, very important. And that is that in our Christian understanding, especially Catholic theology of the Holy Trinity, that this outpouring of the Father, you see, in giving of himself, of all that he is, in the person of the Son. And this doesn't happen in time. It happens from all eternity. Hard for us to conceive because we think of Father giving life in time. But this is God the Father giving life, generating the life of his Son from all eternity by a self-diffusive love. You know, it just means by the Father just pouring himself out so much in love that a second person is in being from all eternity. And this self-giving love of the Father is now in the person of Jesus, when he becomes incarnate. What the humanity of Jesus is doing in every moment of the existence, once he is incarnate in Mary, is to give himself back to the Father. Jesus is doing that, of course, within the Holy Trinity from all eternity. Jesus is returning this self-diffusive love of the Father by his own love, total, complete of himself, back to the Father. When Jesus becomes incarnate, when he becomes one of us, he takes on our mortal flesh. What his humanity is going to do, and this is what makes redemption possible, it's what makes the restoration of the kingdom of God's will possible, is that Jesus' humanity now is going to do that also with his divine nature as Son of God. He's now going to make this total self-emptying, this self-diffusive love back to the Father, but now through the agency of his humanity, through the instrumentality of his human nature. And by giving himself, by abandoning himself, surrendering himself in every moment back to the Father, he brings about the restoration of the reign of the Father's will on earth. This is how he does it, dear friends. And of course, all this is focused, is centralized in the will. Why is the will so important? Well, read St. Bonaventure, read Duns Scotus, read all the Franciscan theologians, because that's where the church gets this centrality of the will, is from the Franciscan perspective, because the will is the source of love. Will is what loves. You cannot love if you don't have a will. That's why there are only three beings that can love: God, angels, and humanity. So we're the only ones with wills that we know of in the universe, that we know. God, of course, may have done other things, but we don't know about them. But as far as we know, this is all that we know. So the will of the humanity of Jesus is where everything is centralized. It's where this humanity of Jesus, but through his intellect, of course, and through his memory, is always trying to put his own human consciousness, want to make it one with the consciousness, with the will. It's again all centralized in the will of the Father here. What is my food? To do the will of the Father. I came not to do my will, but the will of the one who sent me. Everything of Jesus' life is summed up in that. And so Jesus wants to be poured out himself, as the Father has poured himself out in love, as the divine Son has poured himself back in love to the Father, so his humanity wants to do the same. And through this humanity now, through this outpouring of Jesus in his own self-diffusing love, self-immolation, which takes place not only in his passion, but in every single instant of his life, in every breath and heartbeat, every single thing he did. His human consciousness, his human will, his memory is uniting itself one to be one with the Father. So Jesus, when he enters into the world, completes this perfect plan of the Father for his humanity to image the eternal love of the Father for his Son, and through the Holy Spirit for us who are born by the Spirit of Jesus into this oneness with the Father. See, this is where it's all going. It can sound awfully intellectual and mystical and theological, dear friends, but I'm afraid if our lives are not living in this sense of our union with God, we're not following Jesus. You see, we're not doing what Jesus did. We're not fulfilling that purpose for which he came. And so he's inviting us, through the gift of the divine will, to live this communion, to live this self-emptying, together with him in his humanity. And through our humanity that we share with him. Do we do it perfectly as he did? Absolutely not. Do we want to do it perfectly? Absolutely yes. But we can't because of original sin and our own sin. But the great gift is that Jesus says, because I've already done it, all I'm asking of you is to do your best and to try to live this self-emptying, self-diffusive love united with me. And through what I've already done perfectly, I will make yours perfect too. You see, and what Mary did perfectly together, Jesus and Mary make ours perfect as well. Not because we're perfect or because we've done it perfectly, but because God's love is perfect. His mercy is so infinite and eternal that he will complete for us what we cannot do. Provided, of course, that we're trying and we're doing our best and we're not, you know, willfully and sinfully leaving his will and committing mortal sins that separate us from God's grace. But as long as we're trying to live a Christian life, yes, we fail, we do sin, but we get up. Sometimes people even sin seriously, mortally, but we get up, we go to confession, we start over, we're restored to his grace. You see. So if that's the path we're on, and Pope Benedict says, you know, living a Christian life doesn't mean I never fail. It means that when I fail, I recognize it, I'm sorry, and I get up and I start again. I begin again. That's the Christian life. Even Jesus fell physically, not morally, but he fell in his own human weakness, carrying his cross. So that's, of course, an image for us of our own moral failures, not for Jesus, but his taking on himself our moral failures. Why? Because he wants to make them perfect. It's not an excuse, dear friends. And Paul says, you know, that kind of freedom and gift is not an excuse to, you know, sit back and just live a sinful life. Of course not. That's not what we're about at all. That would never be possible in the will of God. But if we're serious about the Christian life and doing our best, God makes up for what we lack. Why? Because Jesus has done it for us. Mary has done it with him for us as a creature. So this outpouring of God's love that has gone on for all eternity within the Holy Trinity now goes on in the humanity of Jesus. And where? In the church. Because God has given us himself, the Holy Trinity, to the church to live all that God is, even here on earth. That's what we pray for. When we pray that the will of the Father and the reign of the Father's will be done on earth, that's what we're praying for. And if it weren't possible, Jesus would have never prayed for it. And that's a long, I think, commentary on that first paragraph, but it is so very important. I firmly believe that we grasp this in our Christian life, certainly if we hope and we desire to live this particular spirituality of the divine will. Now for the response of Jesus. Then afterwards, my sweet Jesus came out from within my interior and said to me, "My daughter, everything you experienced, your full abandonment in the arms of our Heavenly Father, no longer feeling your own life, is the image of the living in my will." It is the image of Jesus himself. Because that's the way Jesus lived. In fact, in order to live in it, the creature must live more of God than of himself or herself. Even more, the nothing must give life to the all, to be able to do everything, to have her act at the top of all the other acts of each creature. What does he mean there, at the top? Well, in a sense, overshadowing all the others, reigning over all the other acts of creatures. Because what he says here is, such was the life of my divine mama. Divine in the sense that, of course, she shares in the divinity. She's not divine by nature. He knows that. We know that. But it's also the life of Jesus, of course, that Mary received from Jesus by that supernatural grace that she received ahead of time, the anticipated grace of living every moment of her life in the will of God freely. But Mary, he's saying here, he's already shown how in many other passages how he himself is the image of it, and the church has known this. But I don't know anywhere in the church where it says that Mary is also an image of this living in the divine will. This is a somewhat new understanding of Mary, not a new revelation, but a new understanding of who Mary is. She was the true image of living in my will. Her living in it was so perfect that she did nothing but receive from God continuously all that she was to do in order to live in the supreme volition. Again, that word receive. That word receive, how important it is. In fact, we could say it's probably the most important word in the practice, in the daily living in the divine will. Because if we're not receiving, dear friends, in love and gratitude, thanksgiving every moment from God, we have nothing to give. You see, we have nothing to restore to our brothers and sisters to bring them into this kingdom. We have nothing to return to God if we have not received it from him. So everything Mary did was nothing but receive from God continuously. Just reading recently a reflection of Eddie Hilson, a woman who died in concentration camps, a very holy woman. And she's saying how when she would go out into the yard at the camp, her eyes would look to heaven, and they would fill with tears of gratitude for God, for the beauty of creation, for all that he had given humanity. She was able to look beyond a concentration camp and receive from God his goodness. Just imagine. None of us, I'm sure most of us anyway, have never been anything that hellish on earth. But she did, and she was able to thank God for his goodness in the midst of it. So this is Mary, in a sense, also the mother of sorrows. You know, she lived in the midst of that kind of sorrow herself. He says, so she received the act of supreme adoration, to be able to place herself at the top of every adoration which all creatures were obliged to do for their Creator. Another beautiful word takes on a whole fullness of meaning in the divine will, adoration. You see, what do we do in the divine will? We continually, perpetually, and hopefully eternally adore the Most Holy Trinity and their divine will, their one divine will. In fact, he says, true adoration has life within the three divine persons. God has adoration going on from all eternity, before anything was ever created. The Holy Trinity, in one sense, you know, we're adoring each other. They're all equally God. Each of the three divine persons, our perfect concord, that is, our perfect unity of will, our reciprocal love, our one will, form the most profound and perfect adoration, which in within the sacrosanct Trinity. You see, this is what's going on in God himself. They pour themselves out, each one differently, on behalf of each other, in order to give of themselves to the other persons. And in this sense, it's an adoration, because it's a complete and total self-immolation, self-giving, self-diffusion for the other. Therefore, he says, if the creature adores me, but her will is not in agreement with me, it is a vain word. It is not adoration. See, we cannot adore God and not be living in accord with God's will. Because the adoration begins in God. God is the eternal adoration. So if our adoration is not one with God's will, and within the adoration of God himself, it's worthless. It's not meaningful at all. And that's why people who think they're worshiping God, they're not at all, because it's not the real God. It's not the true God. It's a false God, an idol. It's a pagan God. See, and therefore it does them no good. So only the worship, the adoration of the one true God revealed to us in three divine persons is true adoration, is worthy adoration. Why? Because we're uniting our adoration with the adoration of God. But there's a beautiful passage we all hopefully have heard by now. I don't have it in front of me, but it's that beautiful passage where Jesus, Louise is complaining, so many others can go to church and go to adoration and be in your presence, but I can't, because I'm here confined to bed. And Jesus says, you know who the true adorers of the divinity are? Those who worship and adore the divine will continuously within them, in their own bodies and souls. Those are the true worshipers, the worshipers in spirit and truth, who can adore the will of God always, because the will of God is in them. But he says, if you're not worshiping God in his will, you're living some other will, yours or somebody else's, the world's or the flesh or the devil's, then you are not engaged in true adoration. He says, so my mama took everything from us to be able to diffuse herself in everything and to place herself at the top of every act of every creature, at the top of every love, every step, every word, every thought, at the top of every created thing. She placed her prime act upon all things. It's prime because it's God's will that's acting in her. And this gave her the right to be queen of all and of everything. And she surpassed in holiness, in love, in grace, all the saints who have been and will ever be, as well as all the angels put together. The Creator poured himself out upon her, giving her so much love that she possessed enough love to be able to love him for all. See, she received that love of the Father, Creator, that was poured out upon her in her immaculate conception. So it was a direct pouring out of God, that fullness of grace given to her at her conception. And therefore, she not only received it then, but she received it every moment of her life. Why? So that she could then love God on behalf of everyone else. He communicated to her the highest concord and the one will of the three divine persons in such a way that she was able to adore for all in a divine manner. She loved as God loves, with God's own love. And to make up for all the duties of the creatures, all those that were never fulfilled and never will be. Had it not been so, it would not be a truth, but just some manner of speaking, that the celestial mama surpassed everyone in sanctity and in love. But whenever we speak, it is facts, not words. Therefore, we found everything in her. Having found everything and everyone, we gave her everything, constituting her queen and mother of her very Creator. Mary was queen and mother of her own Creator. Why? Because God poured himself out completely upon her and within her through the Immaculate Conception. It was all his grace, his gift, of course. Now, Mary had to cooperate with it. We're not taking anything away from her. But the initial, you know, it all comes from God, this outpouring of God upon her out of the sequence of, to take her, in a sense, out of the sequence of original sin. Now, daughter of my supreme will, one who wants everything must enclose everything and place herself at the top of the acts of all as prime act. Now, if you want to live in the divine will, Jesus is saying, Mary's the model. We will do this as Mary did it. It says, then you must also receive everything that God gives himself, poured out completely. And you must then take what you have received and put it at the top of all the acts of all creatures as the first essential, most important act of all, because it is God's act. It is the act of his own divine will united with yours that is going to bless, that's going to restore, that's going to heal and save, redeem, sanctify so many souls. So he says, so the soul must be at the top of every love, every adoration, every glory of each creature. Dear friends, anybody who wants to say that this is a pie in the sky, a me and Jesus kind of spirituality, it's all about me, myself, and I, and my relationship with God, doesn't know anything about this spirituality. Because this is by far the most inclusive, loving, merciful embrace of all people that is possible, because it is through the will of God that we embrace and love and show mercy. See, this is what our Holy Father is asking us to return to and to bring into our lives in a much more complete and deep way during this Jubilee of mercy. See, is to embrace the world. To reach out, and of course you can't do this. We cannot do this physically to everybody. Yeah, we do the best we can with those around us and even maybe helping poor wherever they may be. But through our goodwill, through our intention, through the love that comes from that will, and through the love of the will of God that he's given us to love with, we can do this. And this is what's truly Catholic, universal. This is the way God intended us to live and to love. And he's now showing us the way, showing us through Mary, the mother of God, the queen of creation, showing us first of all through Jesus, of course, now through Louisa, who makes it so clear and explicit in her own littleness, her own human frailty for us. He says, so the soul has to be at the top of all of this other love and adoration and glory of all the other creatures. And not only do we embrace them, we make it possible for them to come into this kingdom. If they have the disposition, if they want to know it and to love it, we are widening the horizon. We're widening the possibilities for others to come into it by our cooperation with the will of God, which, of course, is the power to do that, not our own. He says, my will is everything. This is why the mission of the sovereign queen and yours must be called one. Mary's mission is our mission. Louisa's mission is our mission. Jesus' mission is our mission. I don't have a mission. You don't have a mission apart from that, apart from the one mission. It's the mission of the Eternal Father from all eternity to create, redeem, and sanctify the world. See, there's only one mission. And Jesus, in his humanity, reveals that one mission to us very clearly. Mary, together with him, is a model of how to live it as a creature, you see. But each one of us lives it in our own way, in our own unique way. But it's not my mission. Sometimes I might mistakenly say, my mission. Poor Claire's remind me, Father, nothing is mine or yours. Everything is ours. Everything belongs to God. As Jesus reminds Louisa many times. You see, there's no mine or yours anymore. It's ours. It's our Father. So he says, my will is everything. So you're called to the same mission as Mary. And you must follow step by step the way she led herself to God, let herself be led to God, to be able to receive the divine attitude, the divine attitude, in order to have within yourself a love which says, I love you for all, an adoration which adores for all, a glory which diffuses throughout all created things. This is the way of Mary. This is the way she wants us to live as she did. Certainly, in grace, to be living a good moral Christian life. But, dear friends, it's so much more than that. We've sold ourselves short for 2,000 years on what it means to be a Christian. This is the fullness now God is showing us. You must be our echo, the echo of our heavenly mama, because she alone lived perfectly and fully in this supreme will of God, as the only creature, of course. Therefore, she can be your guide, and she can be your teacher. Oh, if you only knew how much love, with how much love, I am around you. Now, just think of your own mother. You know, hopefully a loving mother who just, you know, loved to hover over you as her child. Mary's that way as well. She's surrounding us with love, dear friends, every moment. She can do it because the divine will is doing it in her, which is infinite, eternal, universal. Oh, if you only knew with how much love I surround you. Jesus says, with how much jealousy I watch over you, so that your living in my eternal will may not be interrupted. Dear friends, throughout my own life, I'm so often aware of that hovering, that protection, that jealousy of God over my life. I hope and pray that you are as well. It's not always, you know, sweetness and light. It's not always kind of the sense of, oh, it's, you know, my happy little comfort zone. Not at all. Sometimes it's a warning, as we're going to hear in a moment. Sometimes it's an admonition. Sometimes it's God has to stop us in our tracks and say, no, you're going down the wrong path here. That's not the way to live in my will. That's not my will for you, you see. Because he doesn't want this living in his eternal will to be interrupted. Yes, it can be, but thanks be to God, he can return it, return us into that flow, into the divine will, reigning again. He says, you must know that I'm doing more with you than with my own heavenly mother, because she did not have your needs, nor any of your tendencies or passions or inconstancies, which might even slightly prevent the course of my will in her. Okay, that was Mary's extraordinary grace. That was a prevenient act of God on her behalf. Not on her behalf, well, certainly for her, but through her, more importantly, for all of humanity, all of the world. But he says, we don't have that exemption. We're not immaculately conceived. We're born in original sin, even though Louisa had some special graces also, as many of us do. But he's saying, we still have our passions. Our will is still corrupt in many ways. It still wants things that are not of God, that are not good for us, you see. It's a wonderful passage I want to share with you right now that is so very beautiful from a couple of volumes later. This is from volume one. And the date of this passage is April 12th, 1927. Jesus said, now, my daughter, all of these pains, these mortifications, my privations, even your painful inconstancies. What are your painful inconstancies? Well, all the ways we get off track. We forget about the divine will. Sometimes for hours, maybe days, we may not think about it, especially at the beginning. I hope that's not true, but it can happen. And they're painful because we don't want to be that way. So it hurts us to know that we're inconstant, but we can be. Our human nature's prone to inconstancies. He says, all of these things, all that we suffer in body, mind, or spirit, are like clouds for the soul, which cast a darkness over her. We all know what that darkness feels like, don't we? It can be a sense of, you know, remorse or sorrow, regret, or even guilt. He says, but if the soul lets everything flow in my will, more than sun, my will invests them and converts them into clouds of the most brilliant light in such a way as to form the most beautiful ornament for the heaven of your soul. Dear friends, what he's saying here is that even like Louisa, when we are weak, when we fail, when we can't take it anymore, as Louisa will say, whatever the cause, whatever the reason, whether it's our fault or somebody else's or whatever, or simply because of life or because of the way we're made, he says, let all of it that is not willful sin, just put it in my will. Throw it into that ocean of my mercy and my divine will. And he says, those clouds that have caused this darkness over you, I will transform into clouds of light. And I will take those clouds of brilliant, shining light, and I will use them to decorate the heaven of your soul. I mean, could God be any better, any more good, any more merciful than that? So he's saying, even all the things where you feel yourself failing and so miserable, all those clouds that overshadow our lives throughout the day, no matter how small or great, he's saying, let them flow in my will. Turn them over to me. Abandon everything that you're going through. Put it all in the stream of my will and unite it with what I've done and what Mary has done for the glory of the Father. So I'll change those clouds. They will now be clouds of light, and they're going to ornament your soul. They're going to make your soul ever so much more beautiful. So he says, I'm watching over you, but you have to also do your part and be attentive. You must know, he says, I'm doing more with you than with my mother Mary, because you need a lot more care. And I don't know about you, but I sure do. We all do. because our lives are just so, you know, inundated today by so many things that take us off track. Just the mere multiplicity of the tasks we have to do, the multitasking sometimes we have to do just to keep our families going, you see, just to earn a living, just to fulfill what seems to be God's will for us. So he says, I have to watch over you so these things don't get in the way. He says, with the greatest ease, the Creator would pour into her and she into him. This is speaking of Mary again. My will was always triumphant in her. Therefore, she had no need of either spurs or admonitions like you do, Louisa, or you do, dear listeners. With you, on the other hand, I must use more attention. For when I see that some little passion, some little tendency wants to arise within you, and also when your human will would want to have some act of its own life within you, I must admonish you. The power of my will must remain in the act of knocking down whatever arises within you which does not belong to it. My will is in the act of knocking it down. And it is not always pleasant to have those things knocked down in our lives. To have, you know, like St. Paul, our egos thrown off the high horse to the ground so that God can begin to work with us. Show us that left to ourselves, we are indeed nothing. He is the all. So he says, I have to be watching you. And he did this with Louisa. He said, I had to assign legions of angels to watch you, to do one thing to keep you from getting proud. Because if you get proud, conceited over any of these things, especially this gift, he says, then I've got to do more work to keep you little. That's what the knocking down is all about. That's what St. Paul's being thrown off the horse was all about. He says, my grace and my love must flow into that rot which the human will keeps forming in you. And it is a rot, dear friends. It will destroy. It will eat up. It's a cancer in the bones of our being. When we allow our human will to take over our lives and to act out of that human will rather than God's will. Or, he says, with anticipated graces, I have to prevent the rot from ever forming in your soul. And this is because I love so much the soul in whom my will reigns, in whom the supreme fiat has its field of divine action, the only purpose of all creation and redemption itself. This soul costs me so much that I love her because she costs me more than all creation and redemption itself. Amazing, amazing and very precious gift God gives to the soul who's going to live in his will, who has been destined from all eternity for this gift, to know it, to possess it, to live it. So, dear friends, he has to take special care of us, and we can remind him of that, Lord. You must protect us. You must watch over us. And if necessary, you must knock us down and knock down whatever in us gets in the way. Why? Because his love is so much greater. Who does God chastise and admonish? The one he loves most dearly. You know, the child with the greatest gifts is the one that needs the most attention in a sense, because that one is the most prone, perhaps, to use their gifts in the wrong way or to become proud. So, yes, all the children need lots of attention, and the weakest, of course, as well. But in a sense, the greater the gift, the more attention God wants and has to give us. So we've cost him, dear friends. We cost God everything in creating and redeeming us. It's all for this purpose. So if this purpose is lost, in a sense, everything else has failed because it has not reached its terminus. It has not, its goal has not been reached, has not been won. The victory complete is not there. That's why it's so important that he wants us to live this way, and he loves us so much. Doesn't always feel like sweet love. But love can be take many, many forms, as we know. Let's complete this passage. In fact, creation was the beginning of our work toward the creatures. Redemption was the means, but the fiat, that is the fiat of sanctification, the eternal fiat, will be the end, the fulfillment. So creation was the beginning, redemption the means, and the fiat of sanctification will be the completion. And when works are accomplished, they are loved more, they acquire their complete value. Until a work is accomplished, there's always something else to do, something to work on, to suffer, nor can one calculate its right value. It's true of our lives till the moment we die. But once it is accomplished, all that is left is to possess and enjoy the work that is done. And its complete value comes to complete the glory of the one who has formed it. You see, it's all about finishing that, completing that round of glory, that round of sanctification that returns everything to God through the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, creation and redemption must be enclosed in this supreme fiat, sealed, if you will, by it. Do you see then how much you cost me, how drawn I am to loving you? For the fiat operating and triumphant in the creature is the greatest thing for us, because the glory which was established by us to be received through creation is now given back to us, and our purpose, our rights, acquire their full power. That's what makes it important. This is the reason for all my attentions, all for you, for my manifestations to you, for my love, for all creation and redemption, all centralized in you, because in you I want to see the triumph of my will. In you, dear friend, in you, dear listener, in all of God's creatures, but unfortunately not all are disposed to receive it. It's not necessarily yet made available to all. That's why it's so important we carry on the mission with Jesus and Mary, for the divine will to be known. He's saying, this is why I've given you so much attention in your life. For my making known to you the divine will to begin with. For all of my love in creating and redeeming that I've centralized, I've deposited in you. Because in you, I want to see it fulfilled. I want to see it all returned to me so that my will can have its final triumph, its final completion, its final conclusion, to complete the way God wanted us to live, the way we were created to live, the way Jesus redeemed us to live. And now through the Holy Spirit, it's all coming to its completion by the work of God and through our cooperation. Well, dear friends, that's a beautiful passage. If you ever get discouraged again or need some little inspiration, I think it's a very beautiful one. It reminds us how important Mama Mary is in our lives and in this kingdom of the divine will. Never leave her out. She's always hovering over you, waiting for your recognition and your cooperation with her as well. And look to her, pray to her. She will intercede for you, for all of us, to live in God's will. Well, before we go and the final blessing, one more time, I do ask you in this time of the heartwarming campaign, the most urgent needs of Radio Maria come up this time of year for our stations. We don't want to lose another one. If you can help keep this program, The Divine Will, on the air, we hope it can be here for at least another 6 years, if God wills. But also all of the wonderful programs, the music, the inspiration, the prayers that you hear over Radio Maria, if you do, keep this going for so many. We reach thousands of prisoners just here in the U.S., not to mention where else they may be hearing it. We reach many of the sick and homebound in hospitals and care facilities. Help us to keep bringing the good news, a word of God's love and hope and healing to so many. And, of course, help us to keep this program on the Divine Will on the Air. Again, the number to call Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, 9 to 5, is 888-408-0201, 888-408-0201, or go to our website, radiomaria.us, click on the Donate button, and you can donate there very safely and securely. Thank you, dear friends, for being part of our Radio Maria family. Thanks for listening today. And once again, as always, I ask through the intercession of our Heavenly Mother Mary, all the angels and saints, may God bless you, protect you, keep you safe, keep watching over you, keeping you always in the heaven of God's will, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless.
Thank you for tuning in for The Will of God with Father Robert Young. Be sure to tune in again next week for another episode.